Hi, welcome to Hamner It Out, where I'm hammering out the issues so you can smell the manure. I'm your host, Suzanne Hamner. Well, today, I know I hadn't done one a video in a while. That is because I have had terrible episodes of dizziness, vertigo, where the room just spins, terrible ringing in the ears. I ended up having a lot of fluid build up in my ears. I couldn't clear the eustachian tube, and this has been going on for over a month. But I am on the mend, so I couldn't even hold my head up off the pillow some days. So it was just really, really debilitating. But there are several stories that came out, but we're going to start with this one on the Consumer Product Safety Commission, because we're going to get into this thing, this announcement, or these articles that have been floating around in the news media that the Biden administration is looking to ban gas stoves. Now, if you remember, you know, I think it was back in January, I did an entire presentation on that. I did a video on that. I'll put that link in the description box so you can reference it. You won't have to go looking for it. But it just seems preposterous after all the times and the years that natural gas is a very efficient way to not only cook your food, but heat your water, heat your home, dry your clothes. So this is something I find very fascinating, because now Biden administration, oh yes, we're not coming after stoves, we're not going to ban gas stoves, but the Consumer Product Safety Commission has now jumped on the bandwagon. So we're going to look and see what this commission is and what it does. And here is from USA.gov. The Consumer Product Safety Commission protects the public from unreasonable risk of serious injury or death from thousands of types of consumer products under its jurisdiction, including products that pose a fire, electrical, chemical, or mechanical hazard that can injure children. Now, I'm not sure what the previous description was of the Consumer Product Safety Commission was or is, but this is what I found today. Now, in the About Us, it says, CPSC, and this is from their own website, works to save lives and keep families safe by reducing the unreasonable risk of injuries and death associated with consumer products and fulfilling its vision to be the recognized global leader in consumer product safety. Now, there's the key right there, global leader. So, if they're going to be a global leader, that means they're going to have to subscribe to the World Economic Forum's Great Reset, the New World Order, Global Government, Global Initiatives, Global Regs, everything. So what they are saying is, this is what they do, and these are the bullet points. Issuing and enforcing mandatory standards or banning consumer products if no feasible standard would adequately protect the public. Obtaining the recall of products and arranging for a repair, replacement, or refund for recalled products. Researching potential product hazards. That's where this ban on gas stoves is coming in. Developing voluntary standards with standards organizations, manufacturers, and businesses. Informing and educating consumers directly and through traditional online and social media by working with foreign state and local governments and private organizations. Think Bill Gates, Microsoft, Amazon, Jeff Bezos, George Soros, private organizations. Educating manufacturers worldwide about our regulations, supply chain integrity, and development of safe products. Now, we're going to go ahead and get into this on the gas stove issue, and we're going to look at this, and we're going to see Is there any risk of injury or death associated with a gas stove where the CPSC could come in and say, yeah, we're going to ban gas stoves? So let's go in here. We're going to start with this. Biden playing with fire on gas stoves as issue reignites. Okay, remember in January, you know, they were looking at it. But now the Biden administration was looking at it. But guess what? You now have the Consumer Product Safety Commission looking at it and the Department of Energy. Department of Energy is an unconstitutional agency. Just remember that. So the Department of Energy has proposed new energy efficient standards, which the vast majority of today's gas stoves would not meet, while the Consumer Product Safety Commission is seeking information on chronic hazards associated with gas ranges and proposed solution to these hazards, potentially in advance of its own rule. Now, the DOE said its proposals would not amount to a ban. Well, let me just say this. If the Department of Energy is going to propose new energy standards, energy efficiency standards, let's clarify that, and the vast majority of today's gas stoves would not meet, you're not going to be able to get a gas stove, and you're probably going to have to give up what you do have. And don't think it's going to stop at gas stoves. If they can target gas stoves, what other gas appliances could be targeted? Water heaters, for one. Clothes dryers, another. Furnaces. And let's not forget the gas logs that you may put in your fireplace so you're not burning wood. As well as other appliances that use natural gas. Oh, like for instance, the generators that run off natural gas. So today it's gas stoves that they're talking about. And believe me, when you're talking about unconstitutional entities getting together and say, we're going to make these standards. And, well, guess what? What's on the market now is not going to meet those standards. Those things are not going to be able to be sold. You won't be able to buy them. Somehow or another, they'll probably want to recall them and give you money for something else. Do you see where this is going? They're playing hand in hand together. Now, here it's said, and I want you to come look at this. The department is conducting this rulemaking on gas and electric cooktops to fulfill its statutory obligations as directed by Congress and a consent decree deadline requiring the final rule to be completed by January 2024. This is what an agency spokesman with the DOE said. The DOE proposes efficiency standards all the time for light bulbs, washers and dryers, refrigerators, and more. Does it mean they're coming to ban those appliances? Of course not. And if you believe that, I have some wonderful oceanfront property in Nebraska that I'm willing to let go at rock bottom price. And I'll also throw in my Aunt Fanny's diamond encrusted bra, okay, for free. So contact me and let me know if you're interested. None of this makes any sense. None of this makes any sense. The Department of Energy is totally unconstitutional. They shouldn't be doing anything. The government, Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution does not give government the authority to meddle in any of this. Because remember, the entities that manufacture these are private businesses. They have no authority whatsoever. They're usurping that authority, which means people should just ignore it. But they're not going to. Now, all of this came about because, and I went over this last time in the previous video, so you might want to watch that to catch up. The Rocky Mountain Institute came out and said that 12.7% of children who had asthma were in homes that had gas stoves. So they're saying, and they ended up saying that just because that's there, there's no causal relationship. But that's not what has been interpreted by these unconstitutional government entities. So what happened? Okay, this new guy, the commissioner, Richard Trumka Jr., he says products that can't be made safe can be banned. He described gas stoves as a hidden hazard. And any option is on the table. That includes banning. Now remember, he is a junior, so his father was union leader Richard L. Trumka, and he attacked the utility of gas ranges, calling it a misconception and a carefully manicured myth that fine dining has to be done on gas. Well, why is gas used? Well, number one, it's efficient. It's efficient. You can really regulate that heat with gas. It's less expensive than electricity, from what I recall, even if you're using propane. So you can read this. I'll let you read this because down here it says, Karen Jean-Pierre says, the president does not support banning gas stoves, and the CPSC, which is independent, is not banning gas stoves. Well, not yet. But what did they say? You can go back up here. Gas stoves are a hazard. Any option is on the table. Products that can't be made safe can be banned. That's what it said. But then the White House walked back his comment, saying any ban would apply only to new stoves. Is that what you're getting at? Possibly not. Because if they can't be made safe, if they don't meet the standards, they can be recalled. So you have to look up exactly what's going on. So, and of course, here is this. Proponents tout arguments about climate change and studies linking gas stoves to childhood asthma. Excuse me. And the American Lung Association has come out in support of a state-level gas ban in New York. Well, we're going to get to other things regarding New York here in a minute. But here's the thing. Tell me, are we sure that this study linked gas stoves to childhood asthma? Well, it came out from Rocky Mountain Institute, who is linked to a communist Chinese group, and they came out with this. I haven't seen any other studies that says gas stoves are causing children to have asthma. Haven't seen that. And here's the thing. Are we to say that these children in these homes that have gas stoves do not go out in public? They are not subjected to car fumes, diesel fumes. They're not subjected to other irritants put in the air, put in the water. And that's another issue I'm going to talk about. Or any other type of chemicals that the city, county, state uses. Are we saying that? Because that's what they're basically saying. That gas, they're linking gas stoves to childhood asthma. Climate change to childhood asthma. Well, you better be able to put those kids in a bubble and just have them be around a gas stove for I don't know how long, cooking those meals. And then you could say, if any child gets asthma, if you've ruled out everything else, then you can say that. But that's not what has happened. And if you go back and you look at that previous video I did on the gas when they first came out, it was in January, about talking about, you know, the gas stoves and the RMI, it's Rocky Mountain Institute, they're out of Colorado, I think it's Denver, they're the ones that had this study, and then all of a sudden everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. But do you see where this is going? Climate change, it's not about health of children, it's not what it's about. And studies linking gas stoves to childhood asthma. Studies. What study? Well, there was a few things that were written, and I'm going to show you that because we're going to go on to this one. This is the talking, this is from the Epoch Times, they're talking about the same agency, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, eyeing a gas stove regulation. So, and what they are having is a request for information. Now, remember, you can comment on this, and I wish I'd pulled that up. The request can be viewed here. Here it is. This is on the Federal Register, and you can go in and make a comment. So, again, Trumka on Bloomberg, this hidden hazard, any options on the table, products that can't be made safe can be banned. But here's the thing, and this is what a lot of people are putting. Gas stoves tend to result in lower utility bills than their electric counterparts. Generally more durable, less parts, being susceptible to breakage or other defects. And it would result in higher utility bills and disproportionately affect low-income populations. Now, you know, and of course, oh, CNN, Biden doesn't support banning gas stoves. Well, maybe not for him or his family or Taco Jill that cooks on the gas stove all the time. But, yeah, I guarantee you they want it for you. If I'm not mistaken, this is the article that also referenced the, Rocky Mountain Institute focuses on carbon-free buildings, has a China program involving a Beijing-based team. It advertises its connection to that state, which is run by the Chinese Communist Party. And here's what this guy from RMI, Brady Seals, said. Its study does not assume or estimate a causal relationship in the association it documented between childhood asthma and gas stove. Now, again, the American Gas Association issued a statement, this was in January, criticizing the RMI study. It said, the authors conducted no measurement or tests based on real-life appliance usage and ignored literature, including one study of data collected from more than 500,000 children in 47 countries that detected no evidence of an association between the use of gas as a cooking fuel and other asthma symptoms or asthma diagnoses. Now, if you'll go back and look at my video and look at the references that I did earlier on the gas stove bans where I highlighted the Rocky Mountain Institute, what you're going to see is that it was really kind of not a study that was done. It was just a gathering of data, and then they put it all together and made an assumption and said, oh, well, 12.7% of children who have asthma live in homes with gas stoves. That doesn't mean that gas stoves are causing that. What about the other 88% of children? Are they all living in gas-free home environments? That's a good question. Because if gas stoves are causing it, you better believe they're going to come and say, well, gas furnaces, gas water heaters, whatever. You know, you just got to get in the mindset that they're coming for the natural gas. They're coming for it. Or they're going to try to. So it's going to be up to us to stop it and just not buying into this. Now, if gas was so unsafe and things were such a problem, wouldn't it have come up years ago? Well, of course it would have. Of course it would have. But see, they've got to get the attention off of any type of narrative that involves immunizations that could be causing childhood asthma, as well as the COVID-19 injections that could be causing all sorts of health problems. So now they're going to blame it all on a gas stove. Natural gas fuel and a gas stove, but it's going to come where it's going to be ventless gas logs, water heaters, heat. Okay, if you have a furnace outside and it's heating up the air, it's blowing that air in. Isn't that natural gas fumes? I mean, think about it how you want to. It's up in the attic. you know, whatever. If you have it in a basement, whatever, it's still blowing in there. Those things are... So, you've got to start looking at this for what it is. It's nothing more than control. And if a gas stove was defective and caused something, yeah, they could recall that particular model, serial number. They would recall, I'm sure, recall that. But none of this is about that. Plus, it's unconstitutional anyway. That should be reserved to the state to set all that up, not the federal government. So, isn't this nice? And, of course, California, wow, city of Berkeley, banned new natural gas hookups in 2019. So if you're living in Berkeley, you can't get a gas stove, you can't get a natural gas hookup, you are going to be total electric. Now, here's another thing California did. The Bay Area District Board of Directors moved to amend regulation on nitrogen oxide emissions from new water heaters and natural gas furnaces, effectively banning those appliances by 2030. Here it is right here. They're coming for it, I'm telling you. I'm telling you now. And if you've already got one, if something happens, you're not going to be able to get a new one. You're probably not going to be able to get parts. So you're going to have to effectively buy a new furnace, which is electric, heat pump, don't heat worth a... I can't say that. Doesn't heat worth a hoo-hoo. Heat worth a hoo-hoo. And water heaters, you won't be able to get those if they tear up. And this is in California's Bay Area. So if it tears up, you're just going to have to buy a new electric water heater. And I'm going to tell you what, those things don't work worth a hmm-hmm. I happen to know this because I lived in an area where we did not have natural gas. And we had to rely on total electric. And it was just a pain in the kisser. We had a neighbor who said, oh, no, I'm not using electric anything. I want natural gas. So they ended up putting a propane tank in their yard, and they ended up putting in propane appliances because they wanted to use the gas. That's how she did it. That's how they did it. But that's what our neighbor did when I lived there. But now I don't, so we have gas, you know, in our house. But it's coming. Now, Larry Elder, and he highlighted this. Federal agency comes closer to gas stove ban. Consumer Product Safety Commission, one of multiple agencies now eyeing gas stove regulations. So he highlighted this same article. So, people are just not happy about it. Just ignore the federal agency, says Paul Schuler. Reprinted, I'm going to run my house off a huge gasoline generator just for spite. So... people are just not happy with this because what it is doing is it is saying, well, we the government are going to tell you what you're going to have to use, which it has not the authority to do. Now, okay, here we go. Now, this came out from Omni's Pipeline. I checked the links. They're all good. They all point to higher articles about the New World Order. They confirm 2023 is year one of the New World Order, with their in-game scene in New York unveiling quarantine camps and promises of coming shock to fully usher in tyranny. Now, I'm going to let you read this, because this about New York is absolutely true, and I'm going to show you the articles that came out where this came from. So, this is what they're saying. The New World Order was some kind of crazy conspiracy theory. That's what the mainstream media has been saying for, I don't know, decades now. Oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. Don't pay any attention to it. But, according to the Globalist-run Trilateral Commission, 2023 is year one of the New World Order. So, if you wonder why things are escalating the way it is, here it is. Now, remember, this hasn't come about overnight. They've been working at this gradually. Remember, and we've got the WHO international health regulations that are coming up. Not the pandemic treaty, just these additional health regulations and these amendments that are coming up that are absolutely going to erode nation sovereignty and put it under the who, so that they're directing the health care you can have, what the treatment is for something. So if, for instance, they came out and said, oh, we've got a pandemic of XYZ, and the treatment for that is, say, amoxicillin. Well, you're allergic to amoxicillin. What if you're allergic to amoxicillin? And say it causes you to go into anaphylaxis. If you get XYZ, which, let's face it, there's no such thing as viruses or anything like that. If you get XYZ, or they say you get XYZ, and it'll always be they say you get XYZ, because no matter what symptoms you have, they're going to charge it to XYZ. And the treatment is amoxicillin, that's it, you don't get anything else. Well, what are you supposed to do if you're allergic to it? Well, this is the problem with top-down control of healthcare. It's the top-down control, period, that is a problem, because it removes rights. Doctors are just going to go along with it. And if you're, I can't give you amoxicillin because you're allergic to it. Well, you know, I guess that's it for you. Bye. You know, if you really get bad off sick, you know, come back. We'll put you on a ventilator, whatever they say to do, we'll do, and do the best we can. I don't think it can't happen. It is what we saw already during this trial run with the COVID-19. We saw it. All right, so now I'll let you read that. And what they're saying is that in 2023, the globalists who gathered at the World Government Summit in Dubai said the transformation to world government needed a shock to move the world away from the current world order. Wow. So, these people, the elites, and they're not world leaders, they're supposed to be representatives of the people, have been flocking to the event this week to pitch ideas for expanding globalism by uniting sovereign nations' government. They're doing all of this without the consent of the people. Just thought I'd let you know on that. But it also went down to talk about the state of New York. And I'll let you read this. It's rather lengthy. Talking about the state of New York's governor, Kathy Hochul, here she is, demands that the courts grant her authorization to detain citizens in quarantine camps against their will. Against their will, without notice, without any rights, held for as long as state health officials decide, and it has no age limit at all, meaning children could be taken from their families. Yep, okay. Oh, and if you think All News Pipeline is just absolutely barking up the wrong tree, here it is, the Brownstone Institute. Governor Hochul files appeal in quarantine camp lawsuit. Now, this came from the case Borrello versus Hochul. That was done last July. Now, they won. What happened is this was on the breach of separation of powers, saying that the health department in the state of New York did not have the authority to make isolation and quarantine procedures regulations. Well, just so happens, guess what? The judge said, you're right, they can't do this. Now they filed an appeal, and how they did it was very slick, because they asked for an extension with which the judge gave, and as that extension was about to run out at the very last hour, they filed their appeal. So they absolutely are going for the appeal. Now, here was the regulation that came out. It allowed the Department of Health to pick and choose which New Yorkers they could lock up or lock down with no proof that you were even exposed to, let alone actually sick with, a communicable disease. They could have locked you down in your home, or they could have removed you from your home and forced you to quarantine in a facility of their choosing. There was no time restriction, so you could have been quarantined for however long they required. There was no age restriction, so they could have done this to you, your child, your grandchild. And they could have told you what you could and could not do while in quarantine. Now, it required law enforcement to enforce the orders of isolation and quarantine. So, hello, police sheriff come to your door and knock, say, you got to come with us by order of the health department. Well, for what reason? Well, you've got some communicable disease, but I'm not sick. Doesn't matter. They said you had it. Got to go. And it wasn't even specific to COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, whatever you want to call it. There was a laundry list of communicable diseases. Lyme disease, toxic shock syndrome, COVID-19. Wow, what about Hansen's disease, which everyone knows is leprosy, syphilis, HIV, chlamydia, herpes 2. Think about all of this. That's what they were wanting. So in other words, anyone who had a communicable disease that could be classified cold, flu, strep, any of those things, they could say, got a quarantine because you've got a communicable disease. You've been exposed to a communicable disease, but I'm not sick. Doesn't matter. Got to go. So they have filed this. So, and Brownstone was not the only one to cover it either. Here is Slay. This is Slay News that covered this same thing. This woman's a dictator. And the plan has been ruled unconstitutional, but they're still going to appeal it, I guess, to roll the dice to get another judge to say, oh, well, that judge is wrong. It's not unconstitutional. Do whatever you want. Go ahead and do it. So keep your eyes on all of this, because I guarantee you, when it comes to New York and California, they're kind of going to both go along that same kind of premise, and then boom, it's going to hit right back here at our doorstep in other states as well. And we're just going to have to get ready, because we're going to have to fight for it. If we don't fight for our rights, we're going to lose them. If we don't exercise our rights, we are going to lose them. So, be mindful of that. Now, the last thing I want to cover, and this is very quick. Minnesota, a nuclear plant leaks 400,000 gallons of radioactive water. Oh my goodness. Why didn't the Consumer Product Safety Commission declare that this Minnesota nuclear plant posed a threat? Oh, and how many other nuclear plants have we had that have had problems? Oh my, Three Mile Island, Minnesota. Oh my goodness, doesn't this meet their definition to ban this because it poses a risk? Well, sure it does if you're actually thinking logically, but they're not going to do that. Why? Because it benefits them to have this kind of stuff. Just saying. So, Xcel Energy is cleaning up 400,000 gallons of water contaminated with tritium, a radioactive substance that leaked from a water pipe that runs between two buildings at its plant in Monticello. And this leak happened months ago, prior to this announcement. It happened months ago. So, what has happened in the 4 months it took them to announce this? Where did all this water go? How safe is the Mississippi? How safe is the Missouri? How safe are the aquifers and water in this area? That's the question you got to ask, because we're talking about a leak 4 months ago that nobody was told about, and they've only recovered 20% of that tritium that was leaked. And it says, an estimated 20% of the tritium has been recovered through extraction wells, and contaminated water continues to be pumped from the groundwater. Better know where you're getting your water from in Monticello, Mississippi. I mean, Minnesota. Well, I've got Mississippi on the line. Because it was the Mississippi River. They're looking at, it references the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers here. Oh, there's no risk to the Mississippi River or other local aquifers, says the Minnesota government. Really? But they've only collected 20% or one-fifth of the leaked tritium? Where'd the rest of it go? Where is it? Where are they looking for it? It's fully contained on site. Really? Has not been detected beyond the facility or any local drinking water. Yet. And if that was true, why did it take 4 months for the authorities to tell anyone about it? That's a good question. If there was not a problem, why didn't they come out right away and say something? Oh, yep, it spilled, but no problem. I wouldn't have believed it then either. Wouldn't have believed it, and don't believe it now. I think there is a problem. And I think with the track record of the government, whether you're talking about state, federal, local, when you talk about their track record for propensity, for falsehoods, you have got to absolutely say, I really don't believe this unless I see the proof. You're going to have to start asking for proof and stop taking everything on face value. But these are just a few of the stories that came out, and I thought you would be really interested in that. And here's another one. Oh, whoopsie. Let me refresh this. This was Peter McCullough. He also came out once her quarantine maps. I want to show you that. So this is something that is continuing to be talked about, even though it's been ruled unconstitutional. But they're still pushing ahead to be able to pull you out of your home and put you where they want you to go. And don't think it has anything to do for your protection or communicable diseases or anything of that nature. It has everything to do with taking your property. It has everything to do with taking what you have, putting you where they want you so they can control everything. That's what it's about. So to the people in Minnesota, be mindful of where you're at about this leak from the nuclear plant. I mean, if anybody has ever listened to anything I've ever talked about, I think nuclear energy is dangerous. I don't think we should be using energy. It certainly isn't clean. I have one person that I need to tell me, oh, we need to develop lots of clean energy like nuclear energy. And I'm like, what? Where do you think nuclear energy is so clean? What about the accidents? And that rarely happens. Rarely happens. Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, Fukushima, Hanford, now Minnesota. A leak. Those are all called accidents. And what is there is toxic, it's deadly. And then, let's put it this way, when they have the fuel rods that are spent, you have the contaminated water, what do you do with that? You can't just dump it. You've got to dispose of it somewhere. That's toxic. It's toxic waste. It damages the environment. It damages us as people. So, yeah, don't sit here and tell me how clean nuclear energy is. It isn't. It's dirty. And don't think for one minute, some of these plants don't leak radiation. They probably do. You just don't know about it. Or if you do know about it, you're just kind of putting it, you know, out of your brain and not thinking about it. But do you really think there's anything that can 100% contain nuclear radiation leaks? Now, let's just be honest here. You think concrete is going to contain that? It might for a little while, but concrete breaks down eventually. Things happen with concrete eventually. It cracks. It degrades. If you've ever had any concrete work, you would know that. So what really is there that's going to contain radiation? Even if you put it under the ground, what kind of container is going to keep it from seeping in to the ground, seeping into anything else? There isn't. So this has been one of the worst decisions anybody's ever made, is to use nuclear energy or nuclear reactions for electricity. It's been one of the worst. I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but whoever it was needs to have their head examined, because Einstein said it, and I'll say it, that's one hell of a way to boil water. He knew the dangers. So anyway, that is all I have for you today. So as always, stay vigilant, do your own research, and I'll catch you on the flip side.